Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive with us.
Today we're tackling something that feels like it's constantly swirling around us.
Yeah.
Change.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere you look, right?
It really is.
And honestly,
sometimes it can feel like a bit much.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
So we're gonna try and find some ways to navigate all that change.
Without ending up completely overwhelmed.
I like it.
We're diving into an article called Manage Change Saturation, the Change Compass.
Okay.
And get this.
This article uses the ancient concept of qi.
Oh, wow.
Like in traditional Chinese medicine.
Interesting.
To help us understand and manage all this change that's happening.
Especially in organizations.
Okay, so how does that work? How does qi play into change management?
So when I first heard about this, I was kind of skeptical too.
But the article makes this really fascinating connection.
It basically says that qi is like this vital energy.
Right, like a life force.
Yeah, and when an organization's hit with too much change all at once.
Yes, like their qi gets all messed up.
It gets disrupted.
Exactly.
And that leads to all sorts of problems.
Makes sense.
Have you ever worked somewhere?
Where it felt like every other week there was some new initiative.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
New system everyone had to learn.
All the time.
And knew something.
That everyone had to adapt to super quickly.
It's exhausting.
The article actually points out
that this constant upheaval and change
doesn't just lead to employees feeling stressed.
Right. It's not just a personal annoyance.
Yeah.
It can actually have serious consequences.
For the individual employees.
But also for the entire organization.
Yeah. It can be pretty damaging.
So what are we talking about here?
What are the symptoms of this change saturation?
Well, for individuals, it can show up as burnout.
More resistance to any new changes.
And just generally more anxiety and stress.
Okay, so that makes sense.
But then how does that affect the organization as a whole?
Well, all that individual stuff can really impact the organization.
You start to see things like performance going down.
People start leaving the company more.
Higher turnover.
Exactly.
And even innovation gets stifled.
Because everyone's so overwhelmed, they just can't think creatively anymore.
Wow, it's like this ripple effect.
That goes through the whole company.
Exactly. It creates this negative feedback loop.
The more changes happen,
the less equipped people are to deal with it.
And the worse the impact is overall. So too much change is bad for everyone.
That makes sense.
But how does this qi concept
actually help us manage all this change?
Right.
I'm still picturing everyone in the office doing Tai Chi.
Thankfully, it's not quite that literal.
The article takes a more metaphorical approach.
Okay, good.
It suggests that just like in traditional Chinese medicine,
where you have to keep that qi balanced and flowing for well-being,
organizations need to find ways to keep their qi balanced
when they're facing all this constant change.
So it's more about understanding this energy flow
and how we can apply it to the way we handle all these changes.
Precisely.
And to make it even more practical, the article outlines 5 techniques for managing that qi during organizational change.
That's awesome.
These aren't just abstract ideas either.
They're actionable things companies can do
to create a more sustainable
and less disruptive approach to change.
I like that. I like that.
So let's hear it.
What are these techniques?
So the first one focuses on building capability and capacity.
It's kind of like when you're training for a marathon.
You need to build up those change muscles.
Get those change muscles going.
Right, so you can handle the demands.
In an organization, this might mean giving employees training
on how to manage change.
Offering mentorship programs to help guide people through transitions. Or even just creating a culture where learning and adaptability
are really valued.
So it's like instead of just throwing people into the deep end,
you're giving them the tools and the resources
to actually learn how to swim.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Instead of just saying sink or swim.
Right, exactly. I know I would have appreciated that in my early career.
I remember my first job.
The company was going through a huge merger.
Oh, yeah. Mergers can be a nightmare for change saturation.
I bet that was a lot to handle.
It really was.
Everything was changing at the same time.
And there wasn't much support or guidance.
I was constantly trying to catch up.
And feeling totally lost.
Yeah. You can see why people get burnt out.
Or resistant to change.
When it's handled like that.
Totally.
It makes perfect sense.
So that's why this first technique,
building capability,
is so important.
Yeah, it's about empowering people.
Rather than overwhelming them.
Exactly.
So what about some of the other techniques?
What else does this article talk about?
Well, the next one is all about establishing routines.
Routines?
Really?
Yeah, it might seem kind of counterintuitive.
Right.
I mean, change and routine seem like opposites.
Yeah, they do.
But the idea is that even when everything's transforming,
having a few stable elements can make things less jarring.
Less stressful.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
How does that actually work in practice?
So think about a change readiness assessment.
Which the article talks about.
Okay.
Before you launch a big change initiative.
The organization takes time to figure out where things are at.
Like, do they have the resources?
Are people on board?
Are there roadblocks they need to think about?
So it's not just about what's changing.
It's also about how we're approaching that change.
In a consistent and thoughtful way.
Exactly. It's about creating a framework.
A kind of stability within the process itself.
And another key part of building routines is communication.
Oh, yeah. Communication's key.
When everyone knows what's happening.
When it's happening and why it's happening.
It reduces that anxiety.
And it builds trust.
Oh, I've worked in places where information was like...
a closely guarded secret.
Oh, yeah.
And the rumors would just run wild.
It just created more stress and uncertainty for everyone.
Yeah, it's like trying to navigate a maze in the dark.
But when you've got clear communication...
it's like someone flick on the light switch.
You can see where you're going.
You feel more confident about taking those next steps.
Okay, so we've got... building capability.
We've got establishing routines.
What's next on our Qi-inspired change management list?
Well, the next one focuses on providing support.
Remember, Qi is all about that energy flow.
Right.
And sometimes that energy needs a little boost.
Especially during times of transition.
Yeah, I can see that.
Change can be emotionally and mentally draining.
What kind of support are we talking about here?
So the article mentions a few strategies.
One that stands out is this idea of change champion networks.
Okay, what's that?
So these are groups of employees.
Who are really excited about the change.
And they basically help support their colleagues through the whole process.
They're like cheerleaders.
Mentors.
Resources for anyone who's struggling with the transition.
That's a really cool idea.
Like a built-in support system.
Within the organization.
Exactly.
And it's not just about like emotional support, right?
Right, it's about practical help too.
Things like training materials that are tailored to the changes.
Or access to experts who can answer questions.
Or even just clear communication channels.
So people can address concerns.
And get updates.
Okay, so it's about having that safety net.
So people don't feel like they're going through it alone.
Exactly. It's about fostering a sense of community.
And that we're all in this together.
Okay, I like it.
So we've got building capability.
Establishing routines.
Providing support.
What's next?
This one might be my favorite.
Okay.
It's about creating the right work environment.
And when we say right...
we're not just talking about the physical space.
Although that can definitely play a role.
Yeah, of course.
It's about creating a culture that actually supports positive change.
Yeah, I've definitely worked in places
where... the environment felt stifling.
Like it was actively resisting change.
It was like trying to swim upstream.
Totally.
And the article says you can actually create an environment...
that fosters what it calls positive chi flow.
Which makes change feel less like a threat.
And more like an opportunity.
Love that.
Okay, so how do we actually create that kind of environment?
Well, one of the key elements the article highlights...
is this idea of psychological safety.
I've heard that term before.
But can you remind me what it means?
So it's about creating a culture...
where people feel comfortable speaking up.
Sharing their ideas.
Asking questions.
And even admitting when they've made a mistake.
Without being judged or punished.
It's about trust and respect.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because if people are afraid to speak up...
then problems can just fester.
And resentment can build.
Exactly.
But when you have psychological safety...
you get that open communication.
Which is so essential for addressing concerns.
Identifying potential issues.
And making changes as needed during the whole change process.
It's about making people feel heard.
And valued.
Even when things are changing all around them.
Absolutely. That feeling of being valued and respected.
Is a huge part of creating that positive chi flow.
So psychological safety is a big one.
What else contributes to this ideal environment for change?
Well, the article also talks about flexibility and adaptability.
Which seem like they'd be pretty important.
For dealing with any kind of change. They really are.
And it's not just about individual traits.
It's about creating a culture that embraces these things.
The article suggests promoting a growth mindset.
Encouraging people to see change as an opportunity to learn and grow.
Rather than something to be afraid of.
I love that shift in perspective.
Instead of dreading change.
You're looking at it as a chance to grow.
And that's exactly the kind of energy shift.
The article's talking about when it refers to chi.
It's about moving from that place of resistance and fear.
To a place of openness and possibility.
So psychological safety.
Flexibility.
Adaptability.
It sounds like... creating this ideal environment is about fostering a certain mindset.
Just as much as it is about policies and procedures.
You're absolutely right.
And it's also about creating a sense of shared purpose.
When everyone feels connected to the organization's goals.
And understands how their work contributes to the bigger picture.
they're more likely to embrace change.
As a way to achieve those goals.
Yeah, it's like we're all in this together.
Working towards a common goal.
That sense of unity can be really motivating.
Especially during challenging times.
It creates a more positive and collaborative environment.
Which we know is essential for dealing with change effectively.
Okay, so we've got four techniques so far.
Building capability.
Establishing routines.
Providing support.
Creating the right environment.
What's the fifth and final piece?
The last one is all about maintaining cadence.
Cadence?
What does that have to do with change?
It's about finding a sustainable rhythm for change.
Instead of bombarding people with constant disruptive shifts.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
It's like you can't just sprint at full speed all the time.
You've got to pace yourself.
That's a great analogy.
And just like with marathon training.
Managing change takes a thoughtful approach to pacing.
And figuring out what to prioritize.
The article talks about setting realistic timelines.
And milestones for any change initiatives.
It's about knowing how much change your organization can handle.
And not trying to cram too much in at once.
Yeah, that's like trying to fit 10 pounds of stuff.
Into a 5-pound bag.
Exactly.
It's just not going to work.
And even if you could.
It'd be a total mess.
And that brings us to the importance of prioritization.
Yeah, because not all changes are created equal.
Some are more critical.
Some are more urgent.
And some can probably wait.
You got it.
And then figuring out the order to do them in is key too.
So you're not overwhelming people.
Or creating unnecessary conflict.
So it's like planning a road trip.
You don't just randomly pick destinations.
And hope for the best.
Exactly.
And map out a route.
That makes sense.
Taking into account distance.
Traffic.
Points of interest along the way.
Oh, I love that analogy.
It's like having that clear roadmap.
Can make the whole journey feel less daunting.
Everyone knows where they're going.
And how to get there.
Exactly. And that brings us back to communication again.
Right.
Which we keep talking about.
We do.
Keeping people informed.
About the plan, the timeline, any potential roadblocks.
That's essential for maintaining trust.
And a buy-in.
It's like a common thread.
Through all these techniques.
It really is.
Communication.
It's the glue that holds everything together.
Without clear, consistent communication.
Even the best plan can fall apart.
So these five techniques.
Building capability.
Establishing routines.
Providing support.
Creating the right environment.
And maintaining cadence.
All work together to create this more balanced,
more sustainable approach to change.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
It's like creating a system.
That supports both the individual.
And the whole organization.
What are your thoughts so far?
Any of these techniques stand out to you?
Honestly, they all resonate with me.
On some level.
But if I had to pick one that feels particularly crucial.
It would have to be. It would have to be creating the right work environment.
I think that's where it all starts.
You don't have that sense of psychological safety and support.
Then all the training and all the routines in the world.
Won't really make that much of a difference.
I completely agree.
It's like you're trying to plant a garden.
In soil where nothing can grow.
Yeah.
You need the right conditions for things to thrive.
And speaking of thriving.
Well, I think it's important to remember.
That these techniques aren't just for organizations.
We can apply them to our own lives, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Because we're all constantly navigating change.
On a personal level as well?
Yeah. I'd argue that those principles are even more relevant.
In our personal lives.
Because we don't always have the same level of structure and support.
That we might find at work.
That's so true.
Thinking back to my experience with that merger.
I wish I had known about some of these techniques back then.
Yeah.
It'd have made a huge difference.
And how I coped with all those changes.
So let's go through each technique again.
And see how they can apply.
To our listeners' own life. Okay, let's do it.
Both at work and outside of work.
Let's start with building capability and capacity.
Right, so remember.
This is about building up those change muscles.
So in a personal context.
This might be about actively looking for new knowledge.
And skills that can help you deal with change better.
Like taking a class.
On managing stress.
Yeah.
Or reading a book on resilience.
Or maybe you finally learned that new software program.
You've been putting off.
Exactly. It's yeah. About investing in yourself.
In your own personal development and growth.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be formal learning either.
It could be just having conversations with people.
Who've gone through similar changes.
Or finding a mentor.
Or even just paying attention to how you react to change.
I think that self-reflection piece is so important.
Right.
Being aware of your own patterns.
Can help you figure out where you need to build up your capacity.
For example,
mm-hmm.
I know I tend to get really anxious.
When things are uncertain.
So learning how to deal with that anxiety.
Has really helped me.
Navigate change better. That's a great example.
It's about being proactive.
And strengthening your change muscles.
Okay, so we've got building capability.
What about establishing routines?
How does that apply to our personal lives?
Well, think about it this way.
When your life feels chaotic,
unpredictable,
having those routines can give you a sense of grounding
and stability.
Makes sense.
Having a morning routine helps me feel more centered,
more prepared to face whatever the day throws at me.
Exactly.
It's about creating those little pockets of predictability
to help you handle the unpredictable.
Right.
It doesn't have to be complicated.
Make your bed every morning.
Go for a walk after dinner.
Have a certain time for checking email.
I think that consistency is key.
It's about creating those rituals
that help you feel more in control,
even when everything else feels out of control.
And remember that communication piece?
We talked about for organizations.
Right.
That applies to our personal lives, too.
Communicating clearly with people.
Setting boundaries.
Letting them know what you need during times of change.
Oh, that's a good point.
Sometimes we just expect people to know what we need.
But clear communication can make a huge difference.
It can help manage everyone's expectations.
Or reduce stress.
Exactly. It's about advocating for your own needs.
Okay, so building capability.
Establishing routines.
Now let's talk about providing support.
This one feels especially relevant.
In our personal lives.
Because change can feel really isolating.
Absolutely.
You don't have to go through it alone.
Just like those change champion networks.
We all need a support system.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for my friends and family.
Who've been there for me during tough times.
Just knowing that I have people I can lean on.
Makes a huge difference.
And it's not just about having people to vent to.
Real support can take a lot of forms.
It could be practical help.
Like someone watching your kids.
While you're dealing with something stressful.
Or it could be emotional support.
Someone who listens without judgment.
Offers encouraging words.
I think it's also about asking for help.
Sometimes we're so used to being independent.
We forget to ask for help.
When we need it.
So true. It's a sign of strength to ask for help.
Not weakness.
Okay, so building capability.
Establishing routines.
Providing support.
What about creating the right environment?
Does that even apply to our personal lives?
I think it definitely does.
Remember, it's about cultivating a space
that supports positive change.
And that space can be physical.
But it can also be mental.
So it's not just about like decluttering your house. Yeah. It's also about creating a mental environment.
Where you can grow and change.
Like practicing mindfulness.
Challenging those negative thoughts.
Surrounding yourself with supportive people.
Yeah, I love that idea of creating a supportive mental space.
It's like cultivating your inner chi flow.
Exactly.
And that idea of psychological safety.
That applies to our personal lives, too.
Being kind to ourselves.
Allowing ourselves to make mistakes.
Not judging ourselves too harshly.
That self-compassion is so important.
Especially when things are changing.
It's easy to be really hard on ourselves.
But treating ourselves with kindness
can make a world of difference.
Okay, so we've got building capability.
Establishing routines.
Providing support.
Creating the right environment.
Now, what about maintaining cadence?
How does that fit in with our personal lives?
I'm thinking back to that road trip analogy.
It's about pacing ourselves
right. Oh, exactly.
Not trying to do too much all at once.
So in our personal lives,
that might mean setting realistic goals.
Prioritizing what's important.
And saying no to things.
That are going to drain our energy.
I think that's so important.
It's easy to get caught up in that busyness.
And feel like you have to say yes to everything.
But being mindful of your own capacity.
And setting those boundaries.
Is so important. And remember, prioritization and sequencing.
Those are essential for our personal lives, too.
Figuring out which changes
with goals
are the most important right now.
And focusing your energy on those.
It's about being intentional.
With our time and energy,
right.
Not just reacting to everything that comes along.
So we've explored these techniques
through the lens of work
and personal life.
What stands out to you as the most significant takeaway?
I think the big takeaway here
is that change is going to happen.
But it doesn't have to be overwhelming.
If we use these chi principles,
we can create a more balanced,
more harmonious relationship with change.
I like that.
It's about understanding that change is a natural part of life.
And figuring out how to handle it with more grace.
And ease.
Exactly.
And one of the most important things we can do.
To shift our perspective on change.
Instead of seeing it as something scary.
What if we saw it as an opportunity to grow?
To transform.
That's a really powerful way to look at it.
It's about seeing change not as the enemy.
But as a chance to become better.
And I think that's a really hopeful message.
For our listeners.
I agree.
Now, before we wrap up.
I want to go back to that question you asked.
If you could change one thing.
About how your workplace.
Or a specific project.
Handles change. About how your workplace or a specific project handles change. What would it be?
That's a really great question.
And it's one I think everyone should be asking themselves pretty regularly.
You know, because even if we don't have control over every single aspect of change,
we can always do something to improve the experience.
For ourselves and the people around us.
So true. It's about taking ownership.
Finding those areas where we can actually make a difference.
Exactly. And those little areas of influence can have a ripple effect.
So I'm curious.
What comes to mind for you?
If you had that magic wand.
What one thing would you change?
That's a tough one.
I think thinking back on some of my not so great experiences with change.
The thing I would change is the transparency.
And communication from leadership.
Oh, interesting.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah, there were times when it felt like decisions were being made.
And we were just supposed to go along with it.
Without really understanding why.
Or what the long-term plan was.
It created so much uncertainty and anxiety.
And honestly, it was hard to feel invested in those changes.
Yeah, I can see how that would lead to people resisting.
Or not really caring.
Totally.
It's like they're asking you to follow a map.
But they won't tell you where you're going.
Exactly.
Or why you're even going there.
And I think that goes back to one of the chi techniques.
We talked about
establishing routines.
When there's a clear process for communication,
it makes things feel more predictable.
More stable.
Right? Even in the middle of all these changes.
It helps people feel like they know what's going on.
And that their opinions matter.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Between change that feels forced on you.
And change that you feel like you're a part of.
When people are involved right from the start,
they're much more likely to embrace it.
Even if it's tough.
It's about tapping into that collective energy.
That shared chi.
That moves everyone forward together.
Love it.
So for our listeners out there.
Who might be feeling overwhelmed by change.
Maybe at work. Maybe in their personal life.
What advice would you give them?
Okay, first of all.
Don't freak out.
Change happens.
It's a part of life.
We all go through it.
Right. It's easy to feel alone.
Like everything's changing around you.
But reaching out for support
can make a world of difference.
Absolutely.
And then I'd say, think about those 5 chi techniques we talked about.
Which ones really resonated with you?
Which ones could you start using?
Even in small ways.
To make dealing with change a little easier.
Maybe even a bit exciting.
I love that.
It's about giving ourselves the power.
To handle change.
With more purpose.
Exactly. And remember,
change is a journey, not a destination.
You're going to hit some bumps along the way.
But that's okay.
That's part of it.
Sometimes those bumps lead to amazing detours.
They take you to awesome new places.
I like that.
Embrace the journey. Stay curious. Keep exploring.
That's how we grow.
Well said.
Thanks for joining me on this deep dive
into chi and change management.
Hope it was helpful.
Maybe even a little bit inspiring.
It was my pleasure.
And for our listeners, we'll be sure to put some links
to the article and other resources in the show notes.
Until next time.
Keep those chi energies flowing.
And embrace the change.